Why don't you go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And don't you love the encouragement of the Lord? I know as David said, encourage yourself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And all that is applying yourself to hear the Word of God. Because the Word does all the encouraging. And that's how we encourage ourselves in the Word of God, is to give that ear to hear. Lord, let my ear hear. Let my heart receive. Let there be yielding. And Lord, let your word work effectually. By your grace, I need that faith. And I thank God how he does these things. And in that encouragement of the Lord, I love these letters to the Thessalonian saints there. It is mighty, especially in the First Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. I think how wonderful, specifically in these two chapters, the blessings that we have. And we're talking about all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. The promises that are ours. And I pray that we see that the promises of God are ours, they're right now. By the grace of God, we are waiting merely for some to be revealed. But by the grace of God and by faith, we need to live them as if they are now. Calling those things which be not as though they were. I believe that is the wife hath made herself ready. She occupies as a wife. She's not waiting to be a wife. She occupies in that. Amen? And I thank the Lord that that jointly ruling and reigning, that goes on now in faith and in believing and joy. And I'm rejoicing in the grace of God that I know is working glory to glory in my life, that by the grace of God to be fulfilled in its height, that I'm glorified together with him for eternity. That's exciting. There's salvation, and then there's salvation with eternal glory. Yes, we know these things. It's all throughout the Word of God. It's such a wonderful thing. I will never get over how it has struck me so sweetly to see in Ruth how all of those were redeemed, and it was wonderful. And he told about how wonderful, I redeemed all this. But it was because of that, meaning the wife, moreover Ruth. And it's just, like I said, the Word of God is incredible. How could we not be encouraged? How could we not be encouraged to open the Word of God and in sincerity to receive, and just as the Spirit reveals these things to us? And I hear from pretty much every one of you. And I thank the Lord. I can't tell you what it means to my heart of the things that God is showing you in the Word. I got a sweet little note from a lady about joy. And I just was overwhelmed to think that's the Spirit searching that out in her. And I was just like, whoa, this is bridal truth to me, she said, Pastor. I said, it's bridal truth to me. And I hope we understand that we're of that precious body, we're tightly fit, we're compacted, and as we yield to God, oh, the supplying that goes back and forth. And I pray that we understand with absolute assurance that every part is needed just the same. It's vital. You know, if it ain't connected, it would have a problem. But it's connected because he's the head. And I thank the Lord for this. But thinking about what we see in these fourth and fifth chapters, thinking about these promises that are ours right now, thinking about that this is speaking to us that the coming of the Lord is soon. We see in the fourth chapter, you know, that a lot of times that's read at a funeral, or, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. And how comfort one another with these words. Amen. That's comforting, isn't it? Praise the Lord. What's the comfort? That the Lord's coming. And what is the real comfort? There's a trump about to blast. And it's an abounding joy comfort. It's excitement beyond anything. And then to think that, again, the revelation of Paul's gospel, which within his letters, we see the details that he wants us to be those that would be alive and remaining. Going on in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be there in just a second, but it's too exciting not to talk about it in overview. But in the fifth chapter, after it talks about that place that he wants us to have at the moment of the first trump to meet him in the air, to be in that company, it immediately goes into saying, now look, you have to beware that you don't fall asleep. Okay? I'm going to warn you. After this real height of what's coming, what's yours, what's been offered, immediately thereafter, there's a warning. Now, honeys, this can happen. And this is going to happen to, matter of fact, the majority of God's precious people. They're going to be asleep to this. Yeah. That wife is going to be taken when the church is asleep. See, so many people will preach that the church is the bride. The church is not the bride. There's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle that's coming out of there. And let me tell you, she's meat for him because she's been feasting on meat. Yes, she has. But he warns us not to be sleeping and not to slumber. But he tells us we're not of that. That's not what we're built for. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing how he tells us that? He warns us that, you know, we can drift off into that, but you're not of that. That's really not who you are. Isn't that something? See, that's how the Lord always does with his word, is he tells us who we are in Christ, but then he also tells us what the lie is. He does. All right? See, it's like talking to people, and then you can kind of get this when you say, now, wait a second, you mean there over there in 1 John, it says, he that's born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin? Well, wait a second, I sin. Not Christ in you. Not that new man. See, that's a lie. Do you see that? And see, that's the same thing that the Lord is showing us here, that we're not, and matter of fact, he goes on, in 1 Thessalonians, we're not going to talk about this tonight, but in the ninth verse, it tells us right there in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. And that word wrath means the tribulation. Okay? He doesn't appoint any of his people to go into the tribulation. That's not intended for us, but most will. They will go into that because that's where the innumerable multitude, a lot of them, will be taken out of. All right? So, but that's how faithful our Lord is. Because not only does he tell you who you are and what you have, but thanks be to God, he warns us. Because he knows us, he made us, he lived as one of us. And he knows what we need to hear and continue to need to hear this. And see, we can get complacent, can't we? And complacent in... And I've warned many of people because I've heard it so many times, and especially as a pastor, you do hear this. Oh, I've heard that bridal message. I don't need to hear it all the time. I've heard that bridal message, and I know that bridal message, but you know what? I feel better going over here. Well, what do you hear over here? What do you hear over here? Because I'm going to tell you, we'll go back to Philippians, and I'll tell you, they were the ones that Paul marked with that letter, and he sent it. Joy book of the Bible, it's going one place. It ain't going to Corinth. It's not going to Galatia. I'm not going to send it to the saints at Hebrews. You talk about eating the pages. It's the truth. They should have been preaching meat and they're going to have milk. What would they do with that? Do you see? Now, do you understand, too, what goes on in the mass majority of Christian churches? See, the Lord's just not going to scatter out that seed. He's going to meet your faith with what faith you'll receive. But let me tell you something. If there's a life that wants to receive the whole counsel of God, he's brought each one of us in here tonight, didn't he? Amen. And think of where he's brought us in from and how he got us here. All different. Amen. Amen. See? And, you know, we can say, well, you know, you were born into that family. And all. Well, praise God, I was born into a family that preached the word of God and all. But I'll tell you what, I got a lot of family that ain't going after it. It's by his spirit. It's not by my last name or whatever you want to say. So you know these things. But see, what we have here is such incredible encouragement that we weren't built and made and intended to go into the tribulation. Not only not intended to end up in hell, God said, I would that all men be saved, but he said more than that, and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Well, what would the full knowledge of the truth be? Exactly what we're speaking of tonight, amen? That we would win him. That's the intent for every man, but especially for God's precious people, because this is what he's speaking over here in Thessalonians, just as he told them, now look, don't you slumber in the night. That's not who you are. You need to be awake, because that thief is coming, and he's going to come in the night. He's going to come when they're not looking for him, and they're gone. But that's why Paul said, them that love his appearing. You know, when you love someone's appearing, you're looking for them all the time. You're wanting them to come. You know what I'm saying? Even so, Lord, come quickly. See, that's beating in our heart, isn't it? Praise God. There's a lot of fringe benefit of getting out of this place. It's growing more and more all the time. But it's not the fringe benefit that's going to have me at the first trump. That first trump rapture is going to be because I love him. I love him. I mean, I'm in love with him. You know, there's a difference there. So, it says that we haven't been appointed to wrath, but to what? Obtain salvation by our Lord. And you go into that word, and we could go into a big Bible study on that, and it's so wonderful. But that's that out resurrection. That's exactly what that's speaking of, brothers and sisters, is that precious encouragement that there is going to be a rib portion that's going to be taken out, praise God, of the body and presented to Jesus Christ as his wife. So, with all of that, thank you, Jesus, let's go ahead and read how we occupy, if you will, how the ready ones live until the first trump. And we'll start reading from verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Huh? Praise God? All right. Pray without ceasing. Thank you, Jesus. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Really underline everything. Get a t-shirt. If you have to get a tattoo, just put everything right there. No, I'm just teasing you. But remember that. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. We'll just stop there. That's more than enough to get through tonight. But I love how that begins there in that 16th verse. Rejoice evermore. How could we not be a rejoicing group of people with what we know? Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful. And I am thankful that we come together and get excited about our bridegroom. How could we not? I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord that people run down here to pray. I thank the Lord that people love to praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord that there is a bubbling over more and more because Jesus is coming. This is real. You know, you get excited when it's your wedding day. And if you don't get it that the wedding day is coming, you've missed it. So I think that's great evidence that there's a joy increasing in these ones. They don't just go old and stodgy. they always have that young roe heart. You know, my lover's coming. Yeah. Heartbeat shooting up. And I'll let all that other stuff, you know, you guys got to think of that yourselves. That we've got kids here tonight. But you know, I mean, it's that reality of what this is. And you better get it. Because it's not fooling around. It's the truth. That's what he's given us. And you need to pray, Lord, get me there. Let me be romantic with you as you are romantic with me. You know? So it's the magnificent plan. God's love. That causes us to rejoice, isn't it? Because a lot of times I don't feel like rejoicing. A lot of times there's things in my natural life that are going on that sure aren't rejoicing. But it says rejoice evermore. So I know the only thing that can get me to rejoice evermore is the one thing that awaits me. So I know where my heart and mind better be occupied, amen? Because if it's sowed in the things down here, I ain't going to be rejoicing evermore. I'm going to be rejoicing ever so often. That's some people's Bible. No, it's not. It's evermore. But then, by rejoicing evermore, then we pray without ceasing. And you know, I thank the Lord. That's not a hard one, is it? You know, I thank God that in knowing the Lord, even as a young child, I always thought about Jesus. Maybe it was because I was maybe insecure, fearful, all of those good things. See, those are things that you don't want. But be thankful. Again, we're getting to thankful in all things that you got them. Because a lot of times people that are just so confident, they don't think about the Lord a lot. They don't pray very much. Don't get so religious about yourself. But it's true. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we can be encouraged at the throne of grace in that. It's tender. We don't go over to that because, you know, our insecurities can be our idol too. You know that? And they can. Things about us can be our idols. But when you turn them to the Lord, they can be the greatest thing that draws us to the Lord for help in time of need, which is always. Because we all got things. And that's what's so precious is those specific things that just keep me completely living at the throne of grace. And I love that. Do you see? There's just that beautiful balance always. Abased but abounding. You see what I'm saying? Hungry but full. It's just him. It's just how he does it. And it's always going to be like that. And that's why we need to be immersed in the Word of God, or it's going to get you. Because that old nature is going to start feeling, as opposed to the new man who lives by faith and gets this. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that wonderful good fight of faith. So praying without ceasing, aren't you thankful? That's not a hard one. It's just what we do. It's just who we are. Because I like to think about him because he's thinking about me. And we like to think about each other. And in thinking about each other, praise God, that's praying. Anytime you're thinking about the Lord, just thanking him, praying, and singing hymns, making melody in your heart. Praise God. That rejoicing evermore is pretty important, isn't it? There's a lot of things that kind of start the motor. And, you know, you come in cold. Sometimes you leave cold. I'd rather come in hot and leave hotter. So, you know, this is just what it is. And I thank God I want to take it. But I thank God that it's a life living at the throne of grace. That's what praying always is. Know that you need it all the time. Amen. It's not just once in a while. You need it every moment of your life. Now, but then it gets a little bit more challenging as you go to verse 18. What does it say there? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've kind of already talked about that, and we've talked about it many times. We need to thank him for our infirmities. You need to thank him for your trials. Do you thank him for your temptations? You know he's got to allow the tempter to tempt you. I think three people just left out over there. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But it's true that we need to thank the Lord. See, because when you begin to thank the Lord for it, not thank the Lord that I'm going in that direction or anything, but thank the Lord that I get it, that I see it, I know what's going on. I know, I know, I can discern that spirit. I know where that's going. And we rejoice, praise God, and we pray. And when you rejoice and you pray, I'll tell you what, you'll be thankful for everything. Yep, when you rejoice evermore, because the only way you're going to rejoice evermore is this gospel. You can't just get in there and rejoice. It doesn't happen. You know, people try to do that, and that's called singing songs until, you know, the light went out on the projector screen. I don't know. And then it ends, you know. But this, I'm sorry, I'm kind of bad tonight, but it's so true. But see, his is evermore. And it's so wonderful because the Lord does that. And that don't shut off. Because it's the word of the Lord. That's what rejoicing is. You've got this wonderful word. And that's what Paul is encouraging them in. Now you've got the word. Continue to pray in it. Encourage yourself in prayer in that wonderful Lord, in that word. And I'll tell you what, you'll live a life of thanksgiving. Your life will be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's a praise to God. I think that's a real quality, brothers and sisters, of those that are really running and running well. They're thankful people. They're thankful always and thankful in all things. They're thankful for their brethren. Can you imagine that? Yes, they are. They're thankful when their brothers are in need. They're thankful for brethren that even fail. Because you know what? Thank you, Lord. You might use me in a spiritual way to restore such a one. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I think he's told us that we've gone through trials and circumstances and situations so we can also be a balm to others. Amen. And I thank the Lord for those that have helped me so. Praise be to God. So you see that. Now, when you rejoice and you pray and you thank the Lord for everything, you begin to really see that all things work together for good to them that love God. You really see that, see? I'm thankful that that was something that was made known to me as a young person, and not just by word, but by joy. I love joy. I love thanksgiving. I love rejoicing. And those are ones that know that the scripture is theirs. It doesn't matter what's going on in the environment. It matters only what the word of God says. And that's what we stand on. That's what this is. And you thank the Lord because he's perfecting that which concerns you. Aren't you thankful that you know that? I mean, you can have the proverbial train that just ran over you and is backing up. But you can thank the Lord and say, you know what? I know he's perfecting that which concerns me. And it hurts. It can be embarrassing. Yes, it can. You know, it can be a lot of different ends in our life, but this is what and how God does this in perfecting that which concerns us. You know that your life is a perfect collection of events, and they're ordered in exact timing. You know that about your life. You have to, by the grace of God, in hearing this wonderful doctrine of the Lord, in knowing how wonderfully and fearfully you are made. It's not just this scientific body that we have. We're talking about what he saw us in Christ in ages past to be for him. That perfection of every thought you would have, every interaction, breath, everything about you that brought you to this point, praise God, of the moment of the coming of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. That's what's so amazing. And once again, he just spoke the incredible universe. But for us, the thought, the prayer, the plan, the power, the purpose, the provision, all of those things. But over all of that, and I've always loved all those P's, I said, you know what? Thank the Lord. I know this other one. Passion. Passion. I like that. So, all of this so we would be ready for what was given to us in chapter 4. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God. So, this is so sweet. Verse 19, how are we abiding then from that? Quench not the spirit. Now, this is something because we were already told to pray without ceasing. But then here we have quench not the spirit. Now, so we see that the Lord is giving us something more with the Spirit here. We pray always, but we need to worship, and our lives need to live in the Holy Ghost and in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I've seen people try to quench the Spirit, and I want to, by the grace of God, encourage ones to trust God for that Spirit in their life. I've found that people have been so, if you will, I'm all knowledge and I can perceive anything and everything that's of the Spirit and is not. And I've seen them quench it. I've seen them hit people where God gave them a gift. And they can't blame that person, but I've seen them never use that gift again. I don't want to be that guy. There's been times in this meeting that things struck my heart. I believe that that's a time when you talk to someone individually. And you need to trust the Lord and pray for your pastor that, you know what, the Lord's on it. Not that the pastor's on it. All right? So, by the grace of God, he's the tuner. And I'm tuning in to be in tune. But pray for people. You know, I think we've come to a point and a place. I pray. We don't go walking around this place to be something. We don't. And I don't perceive that. I know it could be here. I know that we have things. Don't get me wrong. But the last thing I think a lot of people, anybody really would want to do is kind of, in a sense, put yourself out there. You know, it's just easier sometimes just be quiet. Huh? When the Lord's dealing with you about a gift, let me tell you something. That's way bigger than you. And it's not easy sometimes to trust God. Matter of fact, most time it's never easy, is it? Unless he gets you down in Mexico and he tells you which to be a pastor. I'm not going to say that was, never mind. But it's that same kind of thing that you trust him for these things. And by the grace of God, I'm thankful that I know that the gifts of the Spirit are alive and well today. Aren't you thankful for that? That we have that? And it flourishes in this meeting. Believe it or not, it flourishes. Now, there's people that want to see it more and more and more. Because what happens is flesh can want to worship the gift. Now, you want to worship the giver. And thank the Lord, those gifts will be there as we go and abide in the whole counsel of God. Because we're assured of that, of the whole counsel of God that will come forth as we walk in it. Because that's his will. But I thank the Lord. I want to be an encourager. We want to follow Paul as he followed Christ. I want to encourage you to stir up the gift that lies within you by the laying on of those wonderful hands of faith. You understand that? And I pray we would always be that way. Don't be afraid of it. You know, sometimes we can say, well, I saw this a long time ago. I saw a lot of things a long time ago. But I'm here and I'm now. And I know who's here now. Because where his word dwells, he's here. Richly. Now, I found ones that are really free in the Holy Ghost. They usually really love. You know that? A lot of times folks that are cold in the Holy Ghost, and I'm talking about worship, can be cold to others too. I'm not saying every time. But don't be afraid of that. It's amazing how we want to mark Paul and follow Paul as he followed Christ only in the areas we want to follow Paul. I think, you know, him making a statement, I'm glad I speak more than y'all. Well, that was for Paul. Well, wait a second. What else was just for Paul? Do you see? Pray. Pray. It's by his Spirit. But once again, I want to hear the word of God in its sincerity and what the Word of God is saying. Now, one thing about that yielded life to the Holy Ghost, they're open for Jesus and they're open for the saints. They don't just shut down. They're given to hospitality. They're given to love. Also, by the grace of God, wise. In being able to, again, be fatherly by the grace of God to someone. And I thank the Lord for that. So the Holy Spirit gives us that wonderful power. Now, in the Holy Ghost that gives us that power, look at the power that we have in verse 20. Despise not the prophesying. See, with the love, you lay hold and lock into prophesy. You know that, okay? Now, what do you think really prophesying is in this day? If you really think about it, we know that the Word of God tells us it's the Word of God. That's what it is. You know, we get all these different ones, and there's a lot of wonderful men and women. They love the Lord, but they get out there on a tangent, and they're going to prophesy, and they're going to tell you specifics about things in the Word. They're not going to tell you specifics in that regard of events and when they're exactly going to happen. That's not going to happen. The Lord said the hour, you don't know. You don't know. What I believe, which is so true in this about despise not prophesying, because if you look at the first and second, the letters to the Thessalonians, and especially the second letter, Paul really warns them and encourages them, stay in the gospel. Don't drift. Stay in it. That's the theme all the time. Don't depart from it. You know, you're not going to be made perfect by the flesh having begun in the spirit. It's not going to work. All of these different things. You stay in the meat of the gospel. You protect your ears. There's all this winds of doctrine out there. You know what I'm saying? Man's going to come at you in so many different ways. They're going to try to pull you apart and tear you down and do all this. But that's all that man can do. So we are not taken unawares by the devil's devices, are we? We know it. And the Lord has prepared us for this. But I believe what's so sweet here in despise not the prophesying, want more truth. Not new truth. You have the truth. Truth's been told. But I want more truth. That promised land was given. And there was Joshua. And that's what was so sweet about his heart. He said there's always more land to walk through. There's just more of the promise to see. But it's the same promise. Amen? You see that. So you have the promise. But how much of that promise do you want to see? And in how many dimensions? You know, do you love to just see a mountain standing on the bottom and looking up? Or do you like to go to the mountain and stand on the top and look down? And then do you like to go all around the mountain as you're going up and you see the streams and the trees and the wildlife and all? Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same land. It's the same promise. But there's some people that just want to see it from one perspective. They just want to see it from here and there. Well, I've seen it all. And I've been like that on trips. Okay, we're driving fast. You know? You can't see the Grand Canyon staying in your car. You have to get out, you know? And that's the truth. It's how do you want to see him? I want to see all of him. I want to see him in every dimension. And that's where the Spirit will take us. And this is this despise not the prophesying, is that we need to rejoice in the revelation of truth. And by the grace of God, we need to pray, Lord, I want you to enlarge my vision in this. I want to see more depth and height of the truth. And by the grace of God, I always want to know more of the much the more. And this is why pretty much we're here tonight. Amen? Yeah. You know, they got lots of cable shows. And, you know, here we are and we're thankful to God because that ain't going to satisfy. Matter of fact, all that's pretty old anymore anyways. But then you get over to verse 21. We're moving through. And you see, as it says as in our occupying, we prove all things. We hold fast that which is good. This is so sweet. See, with that abounding in the hope and the love, we begin to surrender and yield to God to allow him to will and to do of his good pleasure in our lives. It kind of gets us back to that. And I do appreciate when people say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, you know what Jesus does? He wills and does of his good pleasure in your life. And that's that yielding and understanding the Word of God. And I want to know that. But see, when I know the Word of God, what I know is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you see that? And as I know the Word of God, I realize that it's the new man and the mind of Christ that even makes my good decisions. Because it's his mind. It's not Jesse's mind. Jesse's mind does not make good decisions. It's not of man to direct his own way, is it, huh? Yeah. Lean not unto your own understanding. It's a hard one. Because you just see it and you say, oh, I see this, I see this, I see this. And you say, no, Lord, I want to see it with your eyes. I want to see that with your mind. This is where I need you to truly perform this and prove this in us. And that's what's so sweet, is we trust him and completely trust him. See, where this is going, he's going to prove in those who love him. He's going to prove that we love him. It's true. And what is he proving that we love him? Is it just because I'm holding and abiding and all? No, it's because I love his word. I love that he's in love with me. That's what's captivating to my heart. That's when I can say to Jesus, a lot of times I pray up here and anywhere, I love you. I got to tell him, I love you. And because he loves me. I mean, he loves me. I mean, desires me, and I desire him. And how could you not? That's where I go back to, and I say, how could you not tell people that love the Lord that you love them? Yeah. I mean, I do. Every time I see, I pray. I would tell you, I love you. I love Christ in you. I'm in love with Christ in you. I'll go that far by the grace of God, because that's the word of the Lord. And I thank God as I'm working in our lives like that, that we have that passion for one another. I think it's so sad. I think people don't hear that they're loved enough. Really? Isn't that really the problem? There is no love because they don't want no grace, because they don't want Jesus. So you get to verse 22 and it kind of stops us in our tracks, doesn't it? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Whoa, where did that come from? We were sailing right along, and then, poof, you know, what happened there? You notice he didn't put that one at the first. See, everybody likes, that's a Christian, oh, well, see, I'm going to do this first. I'm just going to work. You notice all of the things that came in before we even got to that. Because what's happened before we ever got to that, if all those things are working, I don't got time for that. My heart, my mind, my thoughts, my... I'm locked in. The Holy Ghost life that lives in us, brothers and sisters, in the building as we occupy in the Lord, it causes us to overcome. I mentioned that today because I've just been so thankful to see the old and the new nature in such a precious way. Because that fella that said the other day to me, well, you know, as you really get perfected in the Lord, there'll be no more old nature. And I laughed at him. I said, you got to be nuts. What, are you going to pop right out of your flesh? No, really, because you got this, you got the old nature. Now, we know the old man is dead. Praise God. But you got these two natures. And you don't need to be mad about it. Don't be frustrated and mad. Didn't the Lord, let's go back to thank him for all things, amen, always. Thank him for that, because that's how we draw nigh to the Lord. Amen. That's how I know I need him. Amen. Hmm? That's how I know I need to just abide at the throne of grace. I need to obtain mercy, always, always. He gives it to me. I have it fully. But I need to know it's mine. You see? Because that mercy causes me to grow right out of a mercy seat. Hmm? Yeah. Praise God. I love talking about him. Thank you, Jesus. But you see, when you're so in love with Jesus, other suitors don't bother you. They don't have a place to reign. You see what I'm saying? See, they just don't reign on you. You know what I mean? And all of us have come through that. And the Lord continues to take us that way. You know, as you've grown in the Lord, there were things that you thought were so dear, near, whatever to you. And whatever it may be, things that people would call good, things that people would call bad. I'll just tell you, anything that keeps you away from God's best is bad. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad to somebody's eyes. You still missed it. As Brother Hill used to say all the time, you could miss God's best in a gutter drinking a bottle, or you could miss God's best as the greatest CEO in a boardroom. You better know it. The whole point of that story is don't miss God's best. And don't worry about where he puts you and all of the things that you got going on. I think we just need to have a heart set for the gospel. And in that heart set for the gospel, it's amazing that we don't think about the things that are going on. And that's the truth. That's when our hearts and our heart's affections are set on the things above. To the chaste virgin, it's an insult in a sense to be tempted to try to be led away. See, so many folks, and it does address this to the Thessalonians about fornication and different things of that nature. But the biggest thing in going into the second letter anyways, Paul, that appearance of evil was the winds of doctrine that were coming in, and they were coming in to get them out of following after Paul as he followed Christ. That was what Paul was really warning them. Stay in the truth. Stay in love. It'll take care of all the other stuff as well, too. It'll cause those things of life to grow strangely dim as we sing, amen? I always remember my mother. She said, it was never a flattery when a man would tell her, oh, you're attractive. It was an insult to her. She only wanted the eyes of her husband upon her. I like that. Praise be to God. All right, now, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. Always pointing to that time we will see him. Always giving us that abounding hope. But think of this. It's the peace of God that separates us unto him. Isn't that something? It's so wonderful. And the very peace of God sanctify you wholly. Think of that. Do you have that peace of God? You see, that wonderful peace that he loves you so, that his mercy and his grace is so for you, that if he be for me, who could be against me? That through Christ, I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror through him. See, that's the peace of God. And in that peace of God, that I believe completely in the power of the word of his grace to perform the good work which he's begun, I'll tell you what, he'll sanctify me wholly, completely. I'm set apart to him in grace. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's it. That's that mark. That's where he's taking us. Nothing shakes us or rocks us. The reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory, is alive and being fed. His love is all I need. And his keeping is so complete. Praise God. The promise, hallelujah, that he gives us becomes alive in us, and we live it. And here we go, just in case we think, oh my goodness, oh Lord, this is just too immense, it's too incredible, you know, all these things that you're working in my life, I feel like I'm so far away now from you, there's no way it's for me. And oh yes, it is, because of verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I love that. See, he knew we were going to get squirrely. And he just had to slam it right down there, bam. Now wait, okay. You've heard all this wonderful stuff, and I know it's just so exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think that your little mind can't take it. You finally got back in your flesh and said, you know what, this is just so beyond, Lord. And I know it's real, but I just could never attain. Right, you can't, so just be quiet here, honey. Faithful is me that called you, and I will do it. Don't you love the assurances of God? See, this is how we abide. We abide in all of these things. I want to see these things percolating in my life, living in my life. And you know what happens in the word of his grace? These things are going on. They're going on in me, and they're going on in you. You're thankful. You're rejoicing. You're praying always. You're believing the Lord. You're seeing your life be moved from things that used to be so, in a sense, raining upon your life. They're not anymore. You realize that it wasn't something that had you chained. You weren't chained at all to begin with anyways. It was a weight you were carrying around that you just had to lay aside. Because whom he's made free is free indeed. It's the liberty that's in Christ. My goodness, we're in the realm of grace. Where there is no law, there is no sin. How many ways does he have to tell us this? Praise God, he does plenty, doesn't he, honey? And that's the truth, because we're so easy to forget. But that's why I love that verse, so sweet. In verse 24, I'm faithful. I called you, and I'll do it. Do you see how that follows the message today? I'm it. I'll do it. He's doing me, praise God, and I love it. Because I'm his, you know, I'm his workmanship. And I love that. It's just so beyond in that regard. So finally, in the verse that we left, that we end in tonight, this is so sweet. Brethren, pray for us. Paul was talking about praying for them always. But here he goes through all of these traits and qualities that the Lord makes evident us as we yield to the Spirit. And here Paul in such humility, pray for me. I love that. I need grace. I need strength. I need you to lift up my hands. Yep. I was chosen vessel. But remember, just the chiefest sinner. This great grace that's not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Be a partaker of my grace. And when you're a partaker of my grace, you know what we need to do for one another? Pray. We do. We need to pray for one another. You know how valuable each and every one of us are to the Lord? And we're valuable as the sons of God, but the value that we are to him to hear this depth of this message, God forbid we wouldn't pray fervently one for another. And care one for another and want to see each other to win his best. I love that. I believe I can hear Paul say, oh, pray for me to have more faith in his grace. Pray for me to have more faith in his love. Pray for me to believe only that he's going to perform the good work which he's begun. Because he gave me this gospel of the glory. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.